So I was asked by Rabbi Zach to give a shiur on the end of the year to try to bring some sort of summation, some sort of meaning to the end of the year, to talk about different topics that are relevant to beginning new things, ending old things. And I want to talk about a question that is sometimes asked in SKA in some of our classes, and that is the often held assumption that when a person finishes their purpose in this world, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu takes their neshama back to the Olam HaEmes, back to Olam Haba, because their job here is done. Or said differently, we know that a person has fulfilled their tafka, their mission in this world, because they have left this world. And this is an idea, this is a concept that we throw around quite often. Some people use it to comfort themselves when somebody dies tragically or suddenly. The idea that one's leaving this world is tied to their completion of their mission in this world. And the question is that true? And if it is true, what does that mean for us? And if it's not true, how do we talk about missions and purpose in this world? And how does it, what does it mean to go from one stage of life, from one mission, to another stage? We'll begin with a story. Rosh Shlomo Aviner, who's pictured in front of you, is the Rav of Beit El, the Rosh Yeshiva of Ataras Kohanim. So in his commentary on Megillas Koheles, he recalls the following event. In 1971, on either Yom HaAtzmaut or Yom Yerushalayim, there was a celebration in Yeshiva Merkaz HaRav, which is the yeshiva founded by Rav Kook. And in that yeshiva, they were celebrating the 80th birthday of Rav Kook's son, Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook, at that time. And everyone was praising him, everything he had accomplished. You should understand that even though Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook might not be a name that's on your radar right now, but in Israel, he is one of the most important and significant people in the history of the country. His opinions and his actions changed the landscape of Israel for centuries to come. And there's a time to talk about him, but not right now. And at his birthday party, they were praising, and they were talking, and they were talking about all he had done and his yeshiva and his influence on Israeli society and the government of Israel. And at that point, one of the other rabbanim there got up to speak. His name was Rav Shlomo Zevin. And Rav Zevin was one of the most accomplished Talmidei Chachamim of his time, a famous author. And he got up to speak and he said the following. Imagine at a birthday party. Everyone's talking about how wonderful you are. Everyone's talking about all of your accomplishments. And this rabbi gets up to speak. And what does he say? He says, I don't agree with whatever's been said so far. It's not true. And he says, they looked at him and said, what are you talking about? Rav Yehuda Kook is a great tzaddik. He's a tremendous person. How could you say you don't agree with all the praise that people have been giving him? So Rav Zevin explained as follows. And he said that in the biography of the Avnei Ezer, the Rav of Sakachov, they tell the following story. That some people had approached the great Rebbe of Kutz, the Kutzker Rav, Menachem Mendel Morgenstern, with a sick child who was the young Avnei Ezer. And the people described to the rabbi, the Kutzker Rav, how righteous, sweet, wonderful the child was, and talking about all of his virtues and how wonderful this individual boy was. And they asked the Kutzker Rav to pray for him. And the Kutzker Rav said, he's not so special. I don't see why you're asking me to daven for him. He's not so special. And all the people coming to the Kutzker Rebbe and said, what are you talking about? How could you say he's not so special? How could you say such a thing about a sick young child? And instead of talking about the merits, all of the good things about this young boy, the rabbi had spoken against him negatively about this young child. So the Kutzker Rav explained as follows. The Yerushalmi in Maseches Kedushin tells us about Rabbi Tarfon. And Rabbi Tarfon had a mother. And one day the mother of Rabbi Tarfon came to the Beis Medrash and asked the Rabbanim there, please, 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 daven for my son. He's a great tzaddik and he's very, very sick. Please daven for him. And they asked the mother of Rabbi Tarfon, why is he such a great tzaddik? Why are you saying your son is so righteous? So she said, I want to tell you a story about my son, Rabbi Tarfon. One time I lost a shoe. And you know what he did? He put his hand underneath my feet for me to walk on his hands so that my feet would not touch the dirty ground. Look at what my son did for me. What a tremendous tzaddik. What a tremendous kibbutz aim. That's why you should daven for my son. So they said to Rabbi Tarfon's mother, imagine this. Rabbi Tarfon's mother comes into the Beis Medrash asking the Rabbanim to daven for her sick son. And they tell her, no, he's not so special. Even if he did that 100 times, he wouldn't reach half of the mitzvah of honoring one's parent. So the Kutzker Rebbe asked, Why did the Chachamim belittle Rabbi Tarfon? That's wonderful kibud avim. He literally put his hands on the floor so his mother could walk on the ground. And he explained that what Rabbi Tarfon did was on a very high level. Could you imagine? Let alone not arguing with your parents when they tell you to take out the garbage. But you would put your feet on the ground so that your parents could walk on it so their feet wouldn't be dirty. That was a very high level of kibud avim. And perhaps, says the Kutzker Rav, he completed his purpose on earth. And his time had arrived for him to leave. And therefore, the Rabbanan minimized the mitzvah Rabbi Tarfon and saying that he did something great, but it wasn't perfect. So that in Shemayim, they would not think that he had fulfilled his purpose. And that's why the Kutzker Rav said that this child is not so great. So that in the heavens, they would not decree that he had fulfilled his purpose in this world, and therefore he would stay in the world longer. So Rav Zevin concluded his story, and he said, Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook has not done a thing. He has not accomplished enough. And Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook smiled, and Rav Zevin added, he has still a great deal to do. And that's how it was, and that's how he ended the story. And we see, apparently, from the story of Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook and Rav Zevin, that there is this idea that when you finish your mission, then your body is done with its neshama, and the neshama goes on to the next world. Now, Rav Avinir argues that this story is not a good source. It's true the story may have happened, but he says you will find nowhere in Torah, nowhere in Mishnah, nowhere in Medrash, nowhere in Gemara, nowhere in Rishonim, a source that says that when a person completes their purpose in this world, the person dies. The fact is, there are very bad people who die, and they probably have not completed their purpose. And you can't say that their purpose is to be Rishayim in this world. That doesn't make any sense. Rather, a person passes away when a Kadosh Baruch Hu decides that it's time for the person to pass away, whether or not you completed your purpose in this world. And the Gemara in Brachos says that Rabbi Yochanan, when he finished the book of Iyov, he would say that people are taken from this world when it's time for people to be taken from this world. Everyone has a time to go, and it doesn't matter if you're ready or not, whatever is decided by Hashem. And if someone thinks that as long as he does not fulfill his purpose, you're not going to die, and you're going to live on it forever, that's a mistake. Nobody walks around thinking, well, if I don't do anything good in this world, I'll never fulfill my tafkid, and therefore a Kadosh Baruch Hu can never take my neshama. It doesn't work that way. Unfortunately for us, people are taken from this world when Hashem decides, according to his ratzon, whether they're tzaddikim or not. So then Rav Avinair raises the question from a medrash. The medrash says that Yehoshua ben Nun, was supposed to live till 120 years, just like Moshe Rabbeinu. Why did he only live to 110? Because Hashem told Moshe that after attacking Midian for what they did to Bnei Israel, then it would be time for Moshe to leave this world. Now, although Moshe had been informed of his approaching death, Moshe did not spend a lot of time dawdling around and not fulfilling his mission. He took care of it quickly. He sent them into battle. Midian was defeated. And then soon after, Moshe Rabbeinu passed away. However, when Moshe's Talmud Yehoshua was set to fight the last 31 kings of Canaan, he said to himself, if I defeat the 31 kings of Canaan, I'm going to die right after I finish my tafkid, my purpose in this world, as happened with Moshe. So what did Yehoshua do? He started delaying the battles. He says, I'm not going to fight today. I'm not going to fight today. I'm not going to fight today. Because he thought that if I don't fight the wars against the kings of Canaan, then I won't have to die. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very upset at Yehoshua. And he said, since you are delaying what you need to do, I'm going to shorten your life by 10 years. And as a punishment, Yehoshua died at 110 and not at 120. As Shlomo HaMelech says, Rabos machshavos b'levish ve'atzas Hashem hisakum. You have a lot of plans, but your job is to follow Hashem's plan at the end of the day. So Rav Avinair says, that's an exception to the rule, that's Moshe Rabbeinu, he was a very big tzaddik, and he doesn't agree with that as a proof for anything. The Gemara in Yevamo says that a Kadosh Baruch Hu decides how long the person's going to live. Sometimes Hashem, a person is going to leave this world, and sometimes a person decides that Hashem decides he's going to live longer at the end of the day. It's impossible to know what Hashem is going to decide for us regarding our mission in this world. A fixed lifespan that Hashem decides upon can be influenced by other factors, a person can do bar mitzvos, Torah, chesed, things like that. And every tefillah is going to help in some way. But the idea, says Rav Aviner, that a person's neshama leaves this world only when they fulfill their purpose has no source. There's no such concept in Judaism. And it is something that is often misused and misunderstood. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, whose original tafkid was to bring Bnei Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, died before his purpose. What greater proof is that? Moshe Rabbeinu was told, you're going to bring Bnei Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. And did it happen? No, he didn't fulfill his purpose. So we see that even Moshe Rabbeinu had work to do and didn't get it done at the end of the day. Now, that's not meant to depress everybody here and to send us off with a sad message. But I do want to open up the following topic, and that is, what does it mean to have a purpose in this world? What does it mean to have a tafkid, a mission? You know, we're ending high school, and we're going to our next stage, whether it be Eretz Yisrael, or college, or whatever it may be. What does it mean to move from one mission, one goal, one thing that has taken your focus for the last 4 years, and then move on to a different mission, a different goal, and go on to a different accomplishment, a different purpose, another reason to be in this world? How do we balance that? How do we take stock of what it means to have a tafkid, a mission that drives us? Every company in the world that is successful has a mission statement. Doesn't matter if it is a company that is 10 people. It doesn't matter if it's a multi-million or billion-dollar company, whether it's Apple. Every company in the world has a mission statement. And you are no different. Everybody here has a tafkid, a mission, a purpose in this world. So how do we go about defining what that is and how to make the most of that? Rabbi Soloveitchik has a drasha in which he discusses this in his book called Yemei Zikaron. This is the book over here, Yemei Zikaron. Rabbi Soloveitchik discusses it in the first essay. And he talks about that story of Rabbi Tarfon as well, how his mother said that he should be davened for, and the Chacham say no, he didn't accomplish anything. And Rabbi Soloveitchik understands it in a similar way. And he quotes a pasuk in Iyov. The pasuk in Iyov says, Halot Sivala Enosh Alai Aretz V'kimei Sachir Yamav. This is in the beginning of the seventh chapter of Iyov. There's a fixed service for man upon earth, and his days are like a hired man. You are like, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, a worker who's working for Hashem. And he understood Iyov to be supporting the idea that each individual in this world for a specific shlichus, to be a messenger, like a homeowner who hires a worker. Hashem has hired each and every one of you to do something in this world. You are working for Hashem in this world. And when the work is completed, then there's a time to leave your job. And so too Hashem hires us to work in this world until our job is done. But not exactly. Now, Rav Kook, Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook's father, has a Perush on the Siddur. It's probably the most oft-quoted piece from Rav Kook's Perush on the Siddur. And this is what he writes on the Vidui that we say on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, we say at the end of every Shmona Esrei, Ad shelo notzarti eni kedai. Before I was formed, I was of no worth. Clearly, before I was born, I was not even in this world. I would not have been born to this time and place if Hashem didn't want me to be here. This person might say, I wish I lived, you know, in 17th century France, the fashion would have been incredible, the food would have been amazing. I wish I would have lived at that time period. No, you live at this time, in this particular period, because this is where you're supposed to be. You would never, ever be in another time period, because that's not your purpose in this world. V'achshav shenotzarti, now that I've been formed, since my soul, says Rav Kook, has entered the world at this point in time, it must be that there's a mission for me to accomplish. And I am needed to repair and complete some aspects of this world. Hashem wants me because I have something to bring to this world. But now, it's as if I was not formed. What does that mean? I'm here, and I have a mission. But if I were to dedicate my life to fulfilling the purpose for which I was born into this world, then this would confirm and justify my existence. But since too often we miss our mark in what our mission was supposed to be, and we don't live up to our potential, so if you're not fulfilling your mission in this world, then what's the point of you being here? What's the point of being placed into this world? And therefore, says Rav Kook and says Rabbi Soloveitchik, we're always looking for a time and a place to see how we fulfill our mission. It is clear that we are the messengers, the shlichim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. We are sent here with a mission, a tafkid to accomplish. Rabbi Soloveitchik notes that in halacha we have the concept of a shaliach, a messenger. In halacha, quite often, you can have somebody carry out a mission for you. You can have somebody marry on your behalf. You could have somebody divorce for you on your behalf. I'm just too tired. I can't get married today. But I'll send my friend, Shimon, and Shimon will go and get married. He'll go to the girl's house, he'll take the ring, and he'll say, you're going to get married to me, but I'm going to be the messenger doing on this guy's behalf. There's such a concept in halacha that you could get married that way. Or when it comes to buying something, you could send a messenger to go buy something to you from the store, right? And it becomes yours. You send somebody to the store to do your groceries, and the moment the purchase is made, it becomes your groceries, even though you never touch them. You can send somebody to do a mitzvah for you if you can't do it, right? You can give somebody a dollar, and they can go give tzedakah on your behalf. There's the type of shaliach in all areas of our lives. But says Rabbi Soloveitchik, in order to be a shaliach, you need to have a defined job. You need to be given a task. You need to go give this tzedakah. You need to go marry this person on my behalf. You need to go purchase this thing. There's a definition, a defined job, and a goal for a defined period of time. And Rabbi Soloveitchik points out that there are a number of differences between being a regular shaliach, a regular messenger, and being a messenger of Hashem. I want to focus on four of them, because these four points are so important to think about and to meditate on when it comes to thinking about how we fulfill our mission and making the most of our time in this world. Point number one. A regular shaliach in halacha, a regular messenger, is given a task or a tafkid, a mission, and then they're on their own, right? Totally independent of the person who gave them the task. I give you $20 and I say, go to the store and I want you to buy my groceries. I don't go to the store with you. That would defeat the purpose. You're on your own buying the groceries. That's how a shaliach works. When we are given a purpose in this world, however, Hashem continues to be right next to us and help us along the way. It's a bit of a paradox. We serve Hashem by carrying out our mission in this world, but Hashem helps us at the same time. Lamashal, when I go to the store and I go to Gourmet Glatter Seasons, so this happens sometimes, certainly for husbands, we don't always know where everything is in the store. Even though I've been there 100 times, I don't remember which aisle the baking soda is in. I don't remember which aisle the pans are in. It's not something that's at the forefront of my mind, right? You always walk into the store and you see like 10 men, obviously not nowadays when we're with social distancing, but you see 10 men like before Pesach crowded around the disposable tins because they don't know what a 9x10 is supposed to look like. And they're asking and they're measuring and they're not sure. So you send to the store on a shlichus from your wife to go find pans. Now, in the olden days, before cell phones, so you're in the store, you either get it right or you don't. But in this day and age, I can't find the thing I'm looking for. I pick up my phone, I call my wife, and I say, I don't know what I'm looking for, I can't find it. And she helps me, she takes my hand through the phone, and she guides me to where I'm supposed to be. And if I'm really stuck, and I get to the store, and I'm supposed to get apple juice, but there's 4 types of apple juice, so I take my phone, and I open up the video chat, whatever you're using, and I can show my wife 4 different types of apple juices, and she'll tell me which one to pick. That is the same thing over here. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends you into this world, you're not alone. You're not by yourself. He is holding your hand every step of the way because he wants you to succeed and he wants you to accomplish. We should never, ever feel abandoned in our shlichus, our mission, and feel that we can't do it, it's too much. We must always remind ourselves that we can only accomplish our mission in this world with the help of our Mishaleach, our sender, the master of the universe. It's okay to turn to Hashem and say, Hashem, I'm here in this situation because you put me here. Please help me. And he'll be right there with you the whole step of the way. Number two, because the Mishaleach, because the person sending the messenger is always accompanying the messenger, no messenger can say that their shlichus is more important than another shaliach. Everyone is doing the shlichus of Hashem, and therefore all missions are important. It's Erev Shabbos, and your mother needs stuff from the store. So she tells you and two other siblings, you go to this store and get A, you go to this store and get B, and you go to this store and get C. Is any shlichus more important? Is any message, is any mission more important? No. Your mom needs all three things. All three things are equally important in her eyes. So too, when it comes to us in this world, no one's mission is more important or takes precedence over another person's. Says the Gemara in Brachos, listen to a beautiful Gemara. This is in Brachos Daf Yud Zayin. Margila b'pumayu derabbanan diyavna. It was said by the rabbis of Yavna. Ani bria v'chaverai bria. I who learn Torah am a creature of Hashem, and my friend who does other things is also a creature of Hashem. Ani malachti be'ir v'hu malachto besada. I go to work in the city, and he goes to work in the field. Ani mashkim l'malachti v'hu mashkim l'malachto. I get up early in the morning for my work, and he gets up early in the morning for his work. Kishem shehu eino misgader b'malachti, kach ani eini misgader b'malachto. And just like he doesn't perform my job, so too I don't perform his job. V'shema tomar, and perhaps you're going to say, you know, I learn Torah, ani marba, I'm doing a lot. V'hum amait, but he's not only studying a lot of Torah, he only studies a little bit of Torah, so he does a very little, he doesn't do so much. His mission is not so important. Shaninu, we have been taught, echad hamarba v'echad hamamit, whether you are bringing a lot to the table or a little bit to the table, when it comes to offering something up, bilvad sheyechaven li l'shamayim. All that matters is your kavana, is your effort, your intention at the end of the day. How can Chazal feel that their shlichus is the same as every person who works, right? The rabbis of Yavna, these are Chazal. These are people on the chain of our Masorah. We're talking about Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Gedolei Gedolei Yisrael. How can they claim such a thing? Tell me, we've all heard of Rabbi Akiva? Yes? Has anybody here not heard of Rabbi Akiva? We all heard of Rabbi Akiva, right? Has anybody heard of some farmer who lived in Svas in, you know, the year 100 in Eretz Yisrael? Does anybody know about him? Heard him before? Any farmers anybody heard of before from Tzfas? No. You haven't heard of him. Ah, clearly Rabbi Akiva is much more important and bring more to the table than that farmer. No, says the Gemara. We all have a tafkid. We all have a purpose, and your purpose is just as important than the next person's purpose. And if you're looking at the box on your screen, and your box is just as important as this box, which is more important than that box, which is all equally important in the eyes of Hashem. A purpose fulfilled in this world is not defined by historical significance or how many viewers you have on TikTok. The success of your shlichus is defined by your mesiras nefesh, your effort, and your individual heart that you put into what you're supposed to do here. Can any one of us say that Moshe giving the Torah to Bnei Yisrael was more important than Akedas Yitzchak? And were Akedas Yitzchak and Moshe giving us the Torah more important than Rachel giving the signs to Leah? Those are all important things. We don't weigh and say this one means more. No tafkid is greater than anybody else's. The love, the dedication, the care in which you deal with your mission is what will define it as a success or a failure. And don't look at which seminary or which college, and don't look at who is dating and who is not dating. The roles and accomplishments of other people in this world is not your concern. Your job is to give your mission the most of your effort. Number three. In halacha, we have a principle that there is a chazaka. There is a certainty that shliach osa shlichaso. If I send somebody out on a mission, and I don't know what happens to them, I never get any feedback, then I assume that the mitzvah or the sale was accomplished, halachically. If I send somebody to sell a car, and I send them with a purpose, and I never hear back, I have a chazaka, I assume that the sale took place. I assume that it happened at the end of the day. However, as messengers of Hashem in this world, we must understand that we will never perfectly fulfill our tafkid in this world. We will always be working and striving. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says so in Perek Beis, Rabbi Tarfon Omer, who we spoke about before. Hayom katzar v'hamalacha meruba. The day is short and the work is a lot. U'po'alim atzilim, and sometimes we are lazy. V'asachar harbe, but there's a lot of reward. U'balabayis dochek. But Hashem is pushing us to do our best. It's very difficult work in this world. No one should ever sit back and say, oh, I got it. Done. I crushed it. There's nothing else to accomplish. I'm taking care of all of my tafkidim, all of my missions. And this speaks to our original point. There's a lot to accomplish in this world. There's a lot of people to help. And the world that you are about to graduate into is one that is uncertain in so many different areas. As was noted to me by a friend the other day, if the United States of America was a Jew, we would probably tell her to go check her mezuzahs, because there's a lot of problems going on, and there's a lot of things that need to be checked out. It's a very uncertain world, and there's a lot of things that are unclear. And I'm not going to promise you that you're all going to fulfill your mission in this world, or your missions, as we'll talk about in a moment, that you're here for. But I can promise you that Hashem is going to love you, and Hashem will be with you every single step of the way. And what will make him prouder than anything is if you try your best. Rachmana libabai. Whatever your mission is going to be, whatever your purpose is in this world, you just have to try your best and try your hardest and show Hashem that you're putting in the best effort that you can. 4. Rabbi Soloveitchik noted that to be a shaliach, to be a messenger, your shlichus needs to be clearly defined when it comes to being a messenger in halacha. I can't just say to a messenger, go do whatever. You have to tell him, you go buy this, you go marry this person, you go do this mitzvah. You have to define the parameters of what being a shliach means and the parameters of the mission. Our tafkid and our shlichus here is not so defined. We don't have a navi, certainly in our days, to tell us what we're supposed to be doing. From time to time, a person will receive a shlichus, a mission, and a new mission will come about as well, and a new purpose in life. This is the shlichus of our life, and it is only over when we leave this world. A person doesn't have one defined mission in this world. Our particular mission can change. Moshe was told to take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, but he wasn't told what else he should do. And then came splitting of the sea, and then came Kabbalah Satorah, and then came the Mun, and then came the Slav, and then came the 40 years in the desert, and the Chet Egel, and Og, and Sichon, and all this stuff. Moshe wasn't given a map of these are the things that are going to happen. One messenger, one mission, another mission, another mission. There are multiple missions. There are multiple things to accomplish, multiple relationships to fix, multiple people to make happy, and multiple things that we can accomplish and bring to this world. And this is Rabbi Soloveitchik, our 4 things we need to always have in front of us when we fulfill our tafkid. To review again from the beginning. The first is that we're never on our own as a messenger of God. The second is that your mission is no important and no less important than anybody else's mission. The third is that it's a lot of work and a lot of effort, but you have to try your best. And the fourth is that it could take a number of missions, and it's not always clearly defined. And it could mean you have a few things to take care of during your time in this world. Which I think should lead everybody to ask the following question. Well, how am I supposed to know what my mission is? We've talked about when our mission is up and how long it may take us to do our mission and what goes into fulfilling our mission and the help and guidance of Hashem. But how am I supposed to know what my tafkid is, what my purpose is in this world? So that's a very difficult question. But I think we can look to the Vilna Gaon to gain some clarity. The Vilna Gaon wrote a commentary on Sefer Yonah. And the Vilna Gaon's understanding of Sefer Yonah is that Sefer Yonah certainly is a historical event, but it's also a mashal for the neshama's journey in this world. I highly recommend learning the Vilna Gaon's Perush on Yonah. There are a number of translations, there are a number of elucidations in Hebrew as well, but the Vilna Gaon explains that the Yonah represents the neshama, that the neshama is given a purpose in this world, and the neshama runs away from its purpose, and eventually it dies, and it's sent back into this world with a second chance. I'm sure you can fill in the rest of the details of how Yonah ties into that, and how the neshama is torn, and it struggles. And at the end of the Vilna Gaon's commentary, in his beautiful commentary on Yonah, he asks us, well, how do I know what my purpose is then? We've spoken all about purpose and mission and tafkid, but how am I supposed to know what my shlichus is in this world? So the Vilna Gaon says as follows. He says, the first thing is, you need to identify averos, struggles in avodas Hashem that you struggle with the most. That avera, that aspect of avodas Hashem, that mitzvah, very well may be your purpose in this world. And then he says, you should identify those averos, those mitzvos that you have a strong desire to do. Because the neshama is attracted to those averos, those faults from a previous life. Now, I'm not going to go down the rabbit hole of Gilgulim and reincarnation and things like that. That's a discussion for another time. The Torah at the beginning of Parsha Shmini recounts the process which Aaron was installed as the Kohen Gadol. The Torah says that Moshe told Aaron to approach the Mizbeach. So the Medrash asks why Moshe needed to tell Aaron to approach the Mizbeach. Aaron knew what a Mizbeach was. He was familiar. Why did he have to be told to approach it? So the Medrash says, because Aaron looked at the Mizbeach, and he saw the corners of the Mizbeach sticking up as the Mizbeach is constructed. And then he had PTSD. He said, that reminds me of the horns of the Egel that I built, and reminds me of the Cheta Egel. And he began to get depressed. Oh my gosh, the Mizbeach looks like horns of an Egel. It's going to remind me of what I did by the Cheta Egel and the golden calf. I can't do this. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes over to his brother, and he puts his arm around him, and he told him, don't be embarrassed. Ki lekach nifcharta. This is what you were chosen for. So says the Imre Yemes, what does that mean, this is what you were chosen for? And he explains the name of Rav Chaim Vital, the prime student of the Arizal, that every person has something specific that they are supposed to fix. And when it comes to that point, that is usually the most difficult thing for you to do, the most concealed aspect of your life, that is what you are here for. And therefore Moshe told Aaron that there's no reason to be embarrassed over what happened in the past, because this is your avoda to work on it. When you tripped before and you messed up, that's what you're here to do, to get better at it and to pick yourself up and to go back in and try again. Rav Tzadok HaKohen writes in the Tzidkas HaTzadik in Os Mem Tes that the thing that the Yetzer Hara pulls at us the most is the thing that is the greatest potential and success for that person. That's where you're going to strive the most, in those areas that are most difficult. Now, I want to stress something very important. Your job, meaning what you pull a salary from, does not mean your tafkid. Don't confuse the same thing. Your job does not mean your mission in this world. Your job just very well may be a way to put money in the bank so you can do other things to fulfill your mission in this world. But don't confuse those things. To find your mission, to find your tafkid, you must examine your weaknesses. Examine the area that you are weak in and have trouble in. Find that one situation where you always seem to fail. And maybe that's your issue. You might have a problem with money. Maybe you want too much of it. You might have a problem with anger, or a particular avera, particular mitzvah. We all have things that are difficult for us. We all have issues that we can't deal with, or we think we can't deal with. I'm a good Jew, but there's that one thing, you know, that one thing that always seems to get me down. Perhaps you can't stand having guests in your house. Perhaps don't like to be around people. Then maybe your tafkid is achnasas orchim. Maybe you're struggling in your relationships with a parent, a sibling, a friend. Then it could be that maybe that relationship is what you're here to correct and raise that person up. Maybe you're pained by, you know, many, many Jews who are assimilating by the thousands every single year. Maybe your tafkid is kir v'chokim. I'm just in the middle of the beautiful biography of Rav Noach Weinberg, the founder of Eish HaTorah. I cannot recommend it enough. This is an individual who is so clear to him as day what his mission was in this world, what his purpose was. You know, to find your mission, it might take some time, and it might be more obvious or less obvious. You know, to speak candidly, I was not a great student in high school or in elementary school. I wasn't, and I was painfully aware of that fact. But at a certain point in my time in Eretz Yisrael, I said, I got to change it. I got to be better about it. And I decided I needed to do something about that aspect of my life. I wasn't a naturally outward person or someone who enjoyed speaking in public. But when opportunities arose to teach Torah and nobody else was stepping in, so I put myself out there and I put myself in that position. Those areas that you think are your most difficult can sometimes be your strongest and most healthy and most exciting areas of your life. And perhaps those are your issues you need to work on. If you try not to deal with your issue in this world, then it could be, according to the Vilna Gaon, you might have to come back again and to work on that mission one more time. Now, as younger people, you can relate what it means to have a mission. Unfortunately, as we get older and people have to pay mortgages and things get in the way, we forget our mission. And we become complacent. And we want to be left alone. And the youthful goals of making a difference are forgotten. Don't forget what it means to have a passion, and what it means to feel the excitement of moving from one thing to the next, the excitement of graduating high school and then getting set to start another mission. Because that passion, that thing that motivates you, might be your ticket in this world. I wish everybody, and hopefully I'll see everybody over the course of the next few days or few weeks, I wish everybody an amazing, amazing summer, an amazing time, Be'ezras Hashem in Eretz Yisrael, and see an opportunity, time to search, to see your tafka, to see your mission, and to make the most of it, and to grab onto it, and to let it guide you from one mission to the next, and to know that Hashem is with you there, is with you the whole time, and to make the most of those missions and that shlichus in this world. We will stop here.